We come today to 1 Samuel chapter 10, and we resume our study in verse 12. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pick it up in verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 10. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, and that would be Saul, Israel's first king, just ordained by Samuel. It says about Saul that God gave him another heart. And all those things came to pass that day. Everything that Samuel predicted would happen to Saul did come to pass. 10. And when they came there to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And again, that's exactly as Samuel said what happened. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all who knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, "What is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" Verse 12. And one of the same place answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" Now the question, how did the son of Kish, Saul, become a prophet? That's the question. The answer, it doesn't matter who his father is. I guess anyone can become a prophet. That's what is meant here. How did the son of Kish become a prophet? Answer, it doesn't matter who his father is. Anyone can become a prophet, I guess. And from that point on, whenever something unexpected happened, people would react by saying, "Is Saul among the prophets?" It's the same way of saying, "What a strange surprise." 13. And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. And Saul's uncle said unto him, and to his servant, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To seek the asses." And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. They did their best to find those donkeys. And when they failed, they turned to God for help. You know, a better idea would have been to pray first and then receive God's help to begin with. And we should always do our best. And we should always pray for God's help before we even try. 15. And Saul's uncle said, "Tell me, I pray you, what Samuel said unto you." And Saul said unto his uncle, "He told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spoke, he told him not." Saul seems to be a humble man at this point, because he could have said, "You know, uncle, God chose me to be the king of Israel." But he didn't say that. That's a good example for us to follow, because God doesn't want any of us to draw attention to ourselves, no matter how popular that seems to be today. And it's, of course, very acceptable nowadays. 17. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them who oppressed you." Israel wanted a king who would lead them in battle. But what a slap in the face that was to God, who had done such a good job doing that very thing himself. And God reminds them of his faithfulness and the good job that he did. When someone rejects you without cause, there's nothing wrong with reminding them that they are not being fair. God delivered Israel from slavery. God delivered them from all of their enemies. And they said thank you by replacing him with a man who looked good, superficial, children of God with worldly attitudes dishonor the Lord. 19. And you have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said unto him, no, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. It's a big mistake for Israel to replace God with a human king. And of course God knows it. But as we've seen before, he's going to let them do it their way, or they will never quit whining because their hearts have turned against him. Sometimes after repeated warnings, you just have to let a person who is determined to do things their own way just go ahead and do it, so that they finally learn that God's way is the best way. It can be painful, but sometimes that's the way some people learn, and that's it. That's the only way they learn. 20. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near to begin the process of elimination and discovering who would be their king. Verse 21. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. They did everything by God's leading. I mean, they did everything by the book. And yet, there was this delay because no one could find Saul. Running into delays or hurdles, I should say, while following God's will doesn't mean that you got off track. It means you have to work through the obstacles by staying in the will of God and through the process that, you know, just trust that God will refine your faith. You're dealing with more people than just you and God, right? There's more persons involved in any situation than you, just you and God. There's other people who kind of throw a monkey wrench into the wheel and cause trouble. But again, just persevere, trust God that he's in control. 22. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come there. And here you see why God sometimes allows obstacles, even when you are in his will. They never would have inquired further through prayer if everything would have fallen into place the easy way. God likes us to pray, in part because prayer deepens our relationship with him. So there they are praying. Again, verse 22. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come there. And the Lord answered, behold, he has hid himself among the stuff. Self-focus. Self in general can reveal itself in several different ways. And one of those ways can be extreme shyness. God had equipped Saul for service, but Saul is not God-focused. He is self-focused, and that's why he's afraid to do anything for the Lord, to be bold for the Lord. We have to have a God focus and keep a God focus. 23. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. Saul was physically impressive. But later we will see that he was just a whitewashed tomb. Looked good outwardly, but inside full of dead men's bones. Inside pretty ugly, very ungodly. 24. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord has chosen? And there is none like him among all the people. And the people shouted and said, God save the king. They wanted a king that looked good. And you know, God gave them the desires of their heart. And they're very excited about it. Sort of like getting a new car, I suppose. It's nice until you get the first scratch. Or until it gets dirty. Or, you know, somebody spills something on the upholstery. 25. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. It was not God's perfect will for Israel to have a king at this time. However, since they have one, God wants them to make the best of it. And so he provided instructions. If a person sins and therefore must live with the consequences of that sin, they will not experience God's his best. They just won't. But God says to them, submit to me in the midst of those consequences and make the best of not having God's best. 26. And Saul, who went home to Gibeah, and there went with him, and Saul also, I should say, went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. God moved the hearts of some people to go with Saul. If you'd like someone to be different than the way they are, then pray that God will make them different. Because just look at this. God alone can do something like that. The Lord can change a person's heart and cause people to be something that you never dreamed that they could ever be. God can do that. Again, 26 and 27, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men, what? Whose hearts God had touched. God can do amazing things. You got somebody that you wish was different, more godly, less offensive to you, or whatever the case. Pray and ask God to change their heart. God can do that sort of thing. Man, just think of the God that we have at our disposal, and I don't mean that in an unrespectful way. It's true. 27, but the children of Belial, and they would be worthless men, said, how should this man save us? And they despised him. They despised Saul and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. You know, Saul didn't ask for this job. And so far, he has not done anything wrong. And that's why God calls these people who hate him worthless. It's good to hate what God hates. But those who hate for no reason, or those who hate out of jealousy, God would call worthless.